Our third speaker this morning is our brother Stephen Palmer from the Cardiff Museum Place Ecclesia in Wales. Brother Stephen's theme this week has been Spiritual Warriors. Today's class is entitled Weapons of Warfare. Brother Stephen.
My dear brothers and sisters, as we consider the subject of the Levites, I think we can perhaps enter into a certain trepidation which they must have felt as they were brought near to the high priest. The Levites gather together as a body to take over the role of the firstborn in Israel, were now given as a gift and would be there at the beck and call of the high priest. What were they in for? What were the requirements to be? How were they to be organized, and what would the high priest want of them? In Hebrews 10, though, they are told to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And that, I think, is something that we want to take encouragement from ourselves, because we are seeing in the Levites a portrait of the saints. And we also may have a sense of uncertainty and anxiety about what exactly we are called to do in the service of the Master. Considering the Levites as a people who are not their own, but who have been brought to the high priest to serve him, we get a different feel about ecclesial life. It's not up to us then to decide to live our lives as we please. We are committed. We are charged with a responsibility to serve the high priest. And I'm sure we all feel a little bit anxious about what that really implies and whether we really are up to it and whether we really aren't the wrong sort of person to be called to such a high responsibility. Well, in Hebrews 10, that verse 22 encourages us to draw near to the high priest in full assurance of faith. And the apostle, in writing to the Hebrews, has used this idea of drawing near. It's the picture of the Levites coming close to the door of the tabernacle where the high priest was officiating over the affairs of the tabernacle. And we get it in chapter 4, and verse 16, where the apostle says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So coming to the high priest, taking up this responsibility, the charge that is laid upon us, isn't something dependent upon our natural strength and natural resources. Actually coming in the right spirit is coming to find help, to find the answer and the remedy to the disappointments and weaknesses which we are so conscious of. In chapter 7 of Hebrews and verse 25, we're given even more encouragement. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So we mustn't forget this aspect of drawing near to the high priest. Yes, we are being called to a warfare, to a service, to a work, to take up responsibility, to discharge that which has been laid upon us. But in coming, we're actually coming to the throne of grace. We're drawing near to the place where God is pleased to forgive us our sins through his dear Son. We come then as Levites, weak and frail, but not reluctant, because we're coming to do a work which is a work that God is working in us. And for this final class, we want to consider the work of the Levites in regard to the reformation of a nation. And we may feel it quite appropriate that At a time when we have been shown by our two brethren earlier on in the earlier classes, the things that we have to commit ourselves to and the high calling of life in Christ Jesus, that it may be that we feel personally in need of reformation. We need to take in the spirit of the times of Hezekiah. Now I'm going to go through the role of the Levites in the times of Hezekiah, because when you look in Scripture for Levites in action, I don't think there is a passage, a period, where we have the Levites in action in such detail. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 29, first of all. Here are the Levites waging the warfare, working the work on behalf of their master. Their commander now is not the high priest, and one wonders where he is at this time. Their commander is actually the king, who's taken over the priestly responsibility, acting not as an Aaronic priesthood, but more as a Melchizedek priesthood, where the king takes charge of the responsibility of opening up the worship of Israel. Now, these Levites at the time of 2 Chronicles 29 are out of work. They have been redundant for some time. They've had nothing to do, because Hezekiah's father has actually put them, as we say in Britain, on the dole. They're out of work. If you go back to chapter 28 and verse 24, it says, "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem." So essentially, the Levites had nothing to do. There was nowhere to do it. The work of priesthood, which they served, had been closed down, and the house of God had been shut. The ecclesia was out of action. The Levites were redundant. And Hezekiah begins his reign in dramatic style in verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he was going to repair the damage which his father had done. And we're told in verse 17 that it was the first day of the first month of the first year. There was a man who sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then it was Hezekiah. But what we want to draw attention to is the ones he used to assist him in that work. And we're told in verse 4 that he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites." And he saw in the Levites the workforce, the workers for this ecclesial reformation. It wasn't because they were a specially righteous people or specially holy at this time. It wasn't that they had distinguished themselves in a time of trial, which Ahaz had introduced. But these were people who were charged with a responsibility, and Hezekiah saw that they were the workforce that he needed to get back into action if ecclesial life in Israel was to be restored. But the first thing he noticed in verse 5 is that they have to sanctify themselves. The house of God was fallen into disrepair. It had filled up with the dust and the decay of time and needed to be sanctified. He was going to send them in to cleanse the house. But first of all, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. And there's a principle, of course, for any action in ecclesial life. The Levites have to sanctify themselves before they're going to be fit to help others in that same process. And we all need to just note that point and give due diligence to that personal work of cleansing through the Word of God and prayer which might fit us to be useful servants in the purpose of our high priest. He was going to send them in to repair the house. Notice now what he says had happened in the reign of his father. Verse 7. They have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burnt incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place and to the God of Israel. Three things had happened. The doors had been shut, the lamps had been extinguished, and the incense and offerings no longer were offered. And that, so it's Hezekiah, was the priority to put right. When you think about it, there are clear parallels between that and ecclesial life. What the Levites were called upon to do in repairing those things was to do what we are called upon in ecclesial life to do. And they're very, very simple, yet they are the answer to the problems that we face. Shutting the doors, closing down the ecclesia. The ecclesia was not attending the meetings. They couldn't get to meeting because the door was closed. And we put this sometimes to youngsters when we're talking about Hezekiah. How would we all feel if we turned up on a Sunday morning to find the ecclesial door closed and a notice on the door saying, shut until further notice? Would we say to ourselves, oh, great, I've got Sunday off. I can go and do the things that I really want to do now. You know, I can go fishing or whatever. Or would we say, oh no, this is a tragedy. We can't shut the doors of the ecclesia. What can we do if we can't meet together, if we can't assemble together? How will I know how my brethren and sisters are faring? How can we worship together? How can we praise together? And it is a tragedy if we can't meet together. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together was one of the sins that Korah introduced into Israel, wasn't it? In Hebrews 10, that's the warning that the apostle draws from that. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And when we get into trouble and difficulties, into depressions and anxious cares, then one of the first things that we want to set aside is attendance at meetings. It can be difficult to drag ourselves to the ecclesia. And yet that's where brethren and sisters meet together, where help can be sought and offered. And if we are having difficulties, then let's not forsake the assembling ourselves together. Hezekiah saw this as his number one problem. They have shut up the doors of the porch. Nobody can get in. The second problem in verse 7, they have put out the lamps. Well, the lamps in the temple and in the tabernacle before represented the word of God, the pure olive oil, burning and shining and showing them the way. To put out the lamps is like not doing the daily Bible readings, keeping our Bibles closed so that the light of God's word is not illuminating dark places. Not only had Ahaz closed down the meeting place, he'd put out the lamp of God's word. So now the second thing to fall was the reading, the daily reading of the word. Of course, that is a pattern that we can easily fall into, of drifting away from the meetings. If we are drifting away from the meetings, almost certain that we are not doing our Bible readings. And then the third problem that Hezekiah recognized, and he gives this to the Levites as a priority, they have not burned incense. Burning incense, we're told in Scripture, Psalm 141, verse 2, is the equivalent of prayer. The third thing to fall by the wayside was the offering of prayer. And these three are simple things, aren't they? The attendance at meetings, the reading of God's word, and the offering up of prayer are the things which are the essential ingredients of faith. And Ahaz pretty much dissuaded the people from those activities. And Hezekiah saw that the first thing a man must do The first thing, if he's going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, is to get the doors of the house of God open, to light the lamps and to offer up the incense. This is how a nation is brought to reformation. This is how the people are going to be brought back to God, by doing the simple things that we know we should do. And we've had encouragement in our studies to do just that, and to see what God is willing to do for us who do not deserve it. But now, Levites, let's get into that house and let's clean up the mess. Let's set aside all the filth that has accumulated over this period of time, and let's sweep it clean, and let's get those lamps lit and get the incense offered. That's what Hezekiah is encouraging the Levites to do. And in verse 11, he addresses them in a very encouraging way. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord God hath chosen you to stand before him. He addresses them as sons. Now, Hezekiah probably had no sons. Manasseh, who took the throne after Hezekiah, was born in those extra years of life that Hezekiah was given. So he had no sons. He was a spiritual father to these Levites, just as the Lord Jesus Christ had no natural sons, and yet can speak of I and the children whom thou hast given me. And so here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ exhorting us not to be negligent. And the margin may tell you that the idea of be not now negligent is be not now deceived. Don't deceive yourselves, Levites. The Lord hath chosen you not to sit down as redundant workers, out of work, unemployed, getting on with your own lives. No, he says, the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him. This is a picture of a worker ready to do the bidding of the high priest. To stand, to serve him, that he should minister unto him and burn incense. That's what the Levites had been called to. My sons, don't be deceived. This is what your responsibilities are. And that call was responded to in verse 12 by a very positive attitude on behalf of the Levites. Then the Levites arose. You see, they've been sitting down. And Hezekiah says, Levites, you've been chosen to stand. So they arose. And they decided, right. He's absolutely right. Their minds would have gone back to Numbers chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and said, he's absolutely right. We were called to work. What are we sitting around for? We better get on with it. Let's stand up. Let's sanctify ourselves. Let's do the work that we've been called to do. And that's a wonderful spirit that we could seek to emulate in our own lives and our own ecclesias as we go away from Bible school. Maybe Bible school has called us to stand up, to serve, to minister, and to burn incense. And so the great families of Levi are represented from verse 12 to 14. They're all there, the sons of Heman, the sons of Asaph, and the sons of Jeduthun, those who had been called the faithful, called to show forth the praises of him who hath called us, that he might, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, gather together in one. And it is those people who had an appreciation of those things now who stand up. And verse 15, they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king. So they lived according to their name. The sons of Asaph were gatherers, and they gathered their brethren together. And they reached out. And this is the spirit, as we've been learning from Brother Ron's studies of Joseph with his brethren. A spirit of reaching out, of seeking to assist the work of the high priest. Do you think from John 17, what is the work of the high priest? The Lord prayed for his disciples and for those whom his disciples would call through the gospel, that they may be one. So it's reaching out and gathering our brethren together that we might be one. Surely the spirit of Joseph to save and to reconcile his brethren and bring them into that fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's what Hezekiah realizes. It's the Levites who are the people who have been called to do this work. Let us not then be reluctant. Let us not be those who are sitting down unemployed. Let us stand up with the Levites. We've been called to sanctify ourselves and to engage in the work of cleansing the house of God. Well, they did it, and it says in verse 17, it took them 16 days, but they did it, and the work of cleansing the house was finished. And they brought the vessels back into the house, verse 19. They prepared and sanctified the vessels, and the altar was established, and offerings were now to be offered upon the altar for all Israel. And then in verse 25, Hezekiah realizes that he needs more. He set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. So there was quite a ministry of the prophets working at this time, and a major element of that was that the Levites should be reconstituted according to the service that was set in order in the times of David. Well, let's just have a look at what happened in the times of David. We go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. When David brought the Ark of God up to Jerusalem, the Levites were set in a special order. And this was something that Hezekiah realized was an essential ingredient of ecclesial life. And if he was going to reform the nation and bring them back to God, cause the whole nation to draw near to God, then this was an element that he must have in place. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 4, this is what David did. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. The word record in the Authorized Version has the idea of to remember. It was the work of the Levites to call to remembrance what God had done for them. And so often we can forget. We can be so preoccupied with the things that we can't have because of the truth, and focus on the negative things, that we are forgetting what God has done for us, how we have been redeemed from our past sins, that he is offering us eternal life, that we've been called into the fellowship of his dear Son through the death and suffering of our Lord. And the work of the Levites is to remember and to record these things, and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And you can see in verse 37 how often this was to be done. It says, so he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Ark continually, as every day's work required. This then was a daily remembrance and thanksgiving and praise. And in Hezekiah's reformation, he says, Levites, you've got to recapture that spirit, and I want to set up the orchestra and the choirs, because you've got an unending work to do. And we understand in 1 Chronicles 25, there were 24 orders for the singing of the choir. And it looks like, you know, every hour there was a change in shift, that 24 hours a day, the music of the temple would ascend up, and Israel would constantly be reminded to thank and to praise. And 1 Chronicles 9 is an interesting little expression in it, speaking of the work of the Levites in the service of song. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 33. "And these are the singers," it says, "chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night." They were free of other duties because they were employed in the work of praise and thanksgiving day and night. That was the spirit that was being brought back into ecclesial life by Hezekiah and taking the Levites and restoring them to their proper service. And so in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 26, we're told, "And the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets." And there they stood in a dramatic, silent fashion. They were all ready. They were in position. They knew what they were going to sing. They had the music with them. They were just waiting for the conductor to give the signal. And the conductor in this case was very extraordinary. Verse 27 of chapter 29, "And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began with the instruments and with the trumpets ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished, the king and all that were present bowed themselves and worshipped." You see, the scene was that the choir and the orchestra were waiting to start. And they were told, you'll only start when the burnt offering begins to burn. And when it begins to burn, you begin. And as it continues burning, you continue. And when it finishes burning, you finish. And the Levites were being told that the conductor of their choir and their orchestra was that burnt offering. That's where you start, that's how long you continue, and that's when you finish. The focus of their gaze was upon an offering in their midst, which was the beginning and ending of their faith. It speaks eloquently of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith. And what were they looking at? But the willing, complete sacrifice of the Lord to the things of God. It was from that the Levites were to take their direction. They were to follow. They were to begin when the burnt offering began to burn, and they were to continue so long as it burned. What a picture of ecclesial life. To have in the center of our activities the sacrifice of the Lord, and to take our direction from that, from Him, and to seek to follow completely as He did until the work was finished. Do you know that idea of finishing a work started comes out in this section of Chronicles very pointedly. It's there in verse 17. It doesn't just say that they began on the first day. It says that they were starting well. Their priorities were just right. They began on the first day. But it goes on to say at the end of the verse, "In the 16th day of the first month, they made an end." They finished. And it comes out in verse 28 and 29. "All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end," or the same word in the Hebrew, "when they had finished the offering." It's making a point, and it goes through, and it's there in verse 34 in a most encouraging way. You see, there was a problem in the ecclesia at that time, not just with the king who had closed up the house of God, but there was a problem with the priesthood as well. And ironically, it was the priests who were the most reluctant to follow the reformation of Hezekiah. There was a huge amount of work to do and upon the priests and Levites to do it, but the priests seemed to have been the slowest of all to get up and work. So many offerings were going to be offered that everybody was needed to do their part. The work of cleansing the temple was a large work. It took them 16 days, 2 days longer than it should have. And they missed the Passover because it took them so long. And it took them so long because there weren't enough workers to do the work. And the men who should have been there, more than anybody else, the priests, weren't there. And it's an irony that those who had the most reason to do the work were the least willing to do it. And in verse 34 of chapter 29, we're told, but the priests were too few so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was finished. And until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And here's a wonderful exhortation for spiritual Levites today. It was the case when you looked around the ecclesia in those days, you said, well, why isn't Brother Cohen there? You know, look, he's a very able brother. He's got the time. He's got the responsibility. You know, this is his job. He was down on the rota. He should be here doing this work. And, you know, we could take the attitude, well, you know, if Brother Cohen's not going to, I'm not going to do it for him, you know. It's Brother Cohen's job. He should be here. And we can get like that, can't we? You know, I'm not going to do it again. I've done it. I've done my turn. It's somebody else's turn now. And somebody needs a visit in the ecclesia. Well, I'm not their visiting brother or sister. That's somebody else's job. Yeah, but they need help. Well, it's not my job to help them. It's somebody else's job to help them. Yes, but they need help. The work's not being done. If Brother Cohen's not here, then somebody else will have to do the work, won't they? Because it's not about whether Brother Cohen does the job or not. It's about the work. To work the work. It's the work that matters. It's the will of the high priest that matters. It's the command of the king that matters. If Brother Cohen's not going to do it, then we better do it. And that was the spirit of the Levites. There weren't enough priests, so, well, we better get our jackets off then. We better roll up our sleeves. Because the work must be finished. That was the attitude. Focus upon the work. Upon the needs of our brethren and sisters. And if others are not willing to do their part, let's take the attitude of the Levites. Look what it says in the most lovely little expression. The Levites did help them. And that is the meaning of Hezekiah's name. Hezekiah is Yah has helped. And they took encouragement from the king who had helped them, who had shaken them out of their laziness and got them back on their feet and back to temple worship and back to do the work that they knew was theirs by right. And so they were prepared to take that very same spirit and to help their brethren till the work was ended or finished. And doesn't that remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And how grateful we are that the Lord had an attitude of mind which was to say, I must do the will of my Father. I must work the work. I must finish the task. And when he said with a loud voice on the cross, it is finished. How wonderful. Let us seek to emulate that spirit, dear brothers and sisters, as true Levites, to help one another till the work is ended. Well, they engaged in this work, and in the next chapter, in 2 Chronicles 30, they realized what Hezekiah was about. He was wanting to reach out not just to Judah, but to the northern wayward tribes. A remarkable show of magnanimity, of understanding the true spirit of trying to unite our brethren in one faith. The northern tribes were in a hopeless state, we might have thought, so utterly contaminated and polluted that they weren't going to be allowed to continue many more days in the land. The idea of going and reaching out to them and seeking their welfare and bringing them back into fellowship might have seemed an outrage to those priests, who had plenty of time on their hands, of course, to stand around and criticize. But Hezekiah sent messengers out to the north and asked them to turn again unto the God of Abram, Isaac, and of Israel. And although most scoffed and laughed at that call, some came in and came down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover in the second month. That there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And as the priests and Levites saw these bedraggled, dirty, defiled, mixed people, some Jews, some Gentile, coming down, they looked upon them. They were ashamed. It says in verse 15, the priests and the Levites were ashamed. They'd been put to shame by the enthusiasm and the example of those who had no tradition in the truth, but who had responded to the call of the gospel and had come in the state they were in. They were not sanctified. They were unclean. They were defiled under the law. And yet Hezekiah prayed for them. The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And it was one of the things that got through the pretense of the priests and the Levites. It touched their heart to see the interested friend, the unclean and the sinner responding to the call of the truth and coming down to Jerusalem. And sometimes we're in that situation ourselves, aren't we? Where we might be so caught up with the technicalities of things that the spirit of the truth may not be as bright in us as it should be. And it takes the example of somebody from outside or somebody new into the truth to show us really what we should be like. And they were ashamed and sanctified themselves. And it is one of the features that comes out in this record that Hezekiah seems to say nothing to the priests who were not getting ready as they should. You know, we might have laid the law down. We might have torn them off a strip. We might have taken them aside and say, now come on, Cohen, you sort yourself out. You should be there. The work's being done by Levites and you should be doing it. But Hezekiah seems to have no time to bring them down to size. Instead, he and the Levites who are willing are pressing forward with the work. And in verse 22 of chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, it says, Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. That was Hezekiah's priority. Levites, don't get sidetracked into these criticisms and controversies which are going on. There's a work to be done, and let's do it to the best of our ability. It's the work of teaching the good knowledge of the Lord. Look, we've got all these interested people who've come down. There's a work to build up their faith. And he spake comfortably. Hebrew, he spake to their heart. He encouraged them positively to engage in the work of the truth by applying that word of God and sharing it with their brethren and sisters. And there was real rejoicing in Jerusalem at that time. And it was that positive attitude which had more effect upon those priests than any direct rebuke that might have been directed at them. Because verse 24 says, Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. They were caught up eventually by the wonderfully positive attitude and spirit of Hezekiah and his Levites. And they said to themselves, look, we've got to do something about this. We're ashamed. We should be there at the forefront of this work, but we haven't been. We've been slow to wake up to our responsibilities. We've been getting on with our own lives. We've been resentful of Hezekiah, this young upstart who's come along and he's trying to shake up the nation. And we should have been with him. We should have been there with him. And look what he's doing now. Come on, let's join in before it's too late. And that spirit of positive cooperation, of emphasizing that which was good, of speaking to the heart, drew out the reluctance from these priests, and they sanctified themselves and joined in the work. And so there's a tremendous rejoinder in verse 25, and it says, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Jerusalem rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. And that's a triumphant statement. That we started off in chapter 29 with these priests and Levites without a job, sitting around, twiddling their thumbs, doing nothing useful. Their priestly responsibilities laid aside because of what Ahaz had done. The Levites probably working in the fields, getting on with their own lives. And then along comes Hezekiah and says, my sons, be not deceived. The Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve, that he should minister unto him. And one by one, they stood up, shook the dust off, washed, and got on with the job. And slowly but surely, the priests joined them. And through that positive example of the king, who got them to record and to thank and to praise and to focus upon a burnt offering, to take their lead. When it began, they'd begin. And when it finished, they'd finished. And they'd only finish when it had finished. To focus on the beginner and finisher of their faith. They took up the challenge to emulate the spirit of the one who had called them and did help till the work was finished. And so all the congregation with the priests and the Levites, Jews and Gentiles, rejoiced together. A picture of the kingdom. There was great joy in Jerusalem. There had never been the like seen before. And the priests and Levites who at one time had been redundant now were in full voice, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his dwelling place. They were accepted by God through the work of Hezekiah, who prayed for them. The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God. May it be through the course of our Bible school, my dear brethren and sisters, that we have been encouraged to do just that, to prepare our hearts, to seek our God, to take up our responsibilities as sons and daughters, to stand, to serve, and to minister. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people.